One of the world's most powerful criminals was arrested in the resort town of Mazatlan, Mexico, earlier this year, and a new film chronicles that arrest and looks into the roots, legacy, and culture that is built up around the narcotics trade in Mexico. I'm Charles Horak. You're listening to On Film. My guest today is filmmaker Charlie Min, who for years has been exploring the intersection of Mexico's deep economic inequality and the rise of powerful drug cartels. His latest film is titled Es El Chapo, about the arrest earlier this year of Mexico's most powerful drug kingpin, Chapo Guzman, head of the Sinaloa cartel and responsible for the murder of thousands in Mexico over the last 10 years. Charlie Min, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me back, Charles.
Seems every 6 months you're in here with a new film, your incredibly prodigious output. Most Americans, I think, are unaware of the specifics of the cartel situation in Mexico, so I thought we would start. I know El Pasoans who are observant may have noticed the, for several years, there was some Chapo Guzman billboards with information leading to his arrest, I think a $5 million bounty or something on those. So maybe the name is familiar, but give us a brief primer on who Chapo Guzman is and was in the hierarchy of drug kingpins, if you will.
Sure. Chapo Guzman is the most powerful drug lord in the world. But if that's really him in jail, well, then I guess he's no longer. But I believe he's still calling the shots from prison, if that's really him in custody.
Of course, a vast operation.
Yes. Chapo is from the state of Sinaloa. He was the head of the Sinaloa cartel, which is the most powerful drug cartel in the world. His influence not only reaches the United States, but Europe and Asia, and he's global. He's responsible for reportedly 80,000 dead Mexicans. Hmm. The Sinaloa cartel, his organization, seems to win every key smuggling route into the United States, us being the leading consumer of illegal drugs in the world. So Chapo has found a stranglehold in just about every key border to pass his drugs into the United States. 25% of the drugs that are being used in our country, he's responsible for. Hmm. So he's been in Forbes magazine.
On their billionaires list.
Yes. He's that Robin Hood social bandit figure that a lot of Mexicans revere. Provides for the poor, and a lot of Mexicans look at him as a symbol of power and wealth, something that their own government wouldn't allow them to have because of the lack of jobs and security. Mm-hmm. So Chapo Guzman is a symbol. I refer to him as a rich Mexican ghost, and if you believe what you heard and saw, he was arrested in February in Mazatlan, and they've taken polls in Mexico and also here in El Paso, and a lot of people do not think it's the real Chapo Guzman in custody because not a single shot was fired during the arrest. His security team was absent. What was he doing in an $89 a night condominium when he's a billionaire? And I think one of the most telling reasons why I do not think it's him is the violence in Mexico has not shifted whatsoever since his arrest. I know the Juarezans were concerned when they heard he was arrested. They were afraid that the Zetas cartel would come into Juarez and try to take over the Juarez drug plaza, something that Chapo Guzman did in the last 5 years. 12,000 people died in Juarez, and a lot of people, even though he's revered in Mexico, a lot of people in Juarez and Chihuahua do not like him because of what he did in the last 5 years by taking over the Juarez drug plaza.
I know the film begins in Culiacan, Mexico, where you were doing research, and was it, I guess, his home base, but was that your first trip to Culiacan this year?
Yeah, this was, obviously, I had to get in there. Culiacan is the cradle of cocaine. It's the crib of narco trafficking, and it's really the whole state. I mean, it goes into Barriaguato and La Tuna. Unfortunately, we have a lot of violence even in Mazatlan, which is a beach resort. I mean, when you go there, you see a lot of U.S. and even Canadian tourists happy, and they're running on the beach and whatnot, and that's all great. But underneath all that—
A few blocks away.
Yeah, you have to be careful. And the proof in the pudding there is even though you're on the beach, you always see the presence of police, municipal, maybe even federal every now and then. But they are there, and they're on high alert. Because you never know what could happen at any given moment.
Most of your previous films dealt with the violence in Juarez, but being in his home state, his hometown, were you surprised at the culture you found there?
I was surprised how many people revere him. We're talking about a man, as I said, is responsible for 80,000 of his own people, but yet people revere him because apparently the Mexican people tell me he creates jobs, he builds hospitals, schools, churches, roads. But with that said, Culiacan's economy is struggling. Barriaguato's economy is struggling. So I think that if this is true, then Chapo Guzman is giving money to the right people, people that could protect him, and maybe not necessarily to everybody.
Yeah, your film even has rallies to free Guzman. The people of Culiacan are coming out into the streets and sort of rising up, asking for his release.
Yeah, you would think this guy was a soccer star or a musician. He's a criminal. But yet 2,000 people rallied in Culiacan 4 days after his arrest, saying, free Chapo, free Chapo. No extradition to the United States because he's wanted in 7 U.S. districts. If he was ever transferred here, it'd be game over for him. He would not have the luxuries like he does in Mexico in prison. Like the first time he was arrested, he basically turned that prison into his palace.
This is in 1993.
He was arrested for the first time, yes, in 1993 in Guatemala, extradited to Mexico. 2001, he spent $2 million on his escape. He bribed prison officials and others, spent $2 million, escaped in a laundry cart in 2001. So he spent 8 years in prison the first time. I'm surprised he didn't get out sooner. But all the people that he bribed are in jail now when he escaped, and he ends up escaping and everyone else ends up going to jail, the people that he bribed.
It's interesting, as you interview people on the streets of Mexico about him, when you raise his name, there's a bit of an aura of a legend about him. There's the stories that people recount to have an apocryphal feel to them. And I'm wondering if this sort of romantic vision of who he is, or as a symbol of what he is part of the reason why people can't accept that he may have been captured in February.
A couple of people said, well, now our economy is going to go dry. We don't have that protection anymore. I love that one line. We don't have that protection from what?
Right.
And all of a sudden, he's a killer, and now he's like the police. He's a rich Mexican ghost. He really is. He's everywhere and nowhere. He's public enemy number one in Chicago, and he's never been stepped foot in Chicago. What's interesting to me is all these people sing praises for him. Apparently, he gave them money and protection, but yet he's the wanted man. Are these people also accomplices? Are they going along with this whole game that Chapo Guzman has created? There's a $2 million reward in Mexico to capture him. If you were a citizen, wouldn't you want to turn him in? And $2 million is probably a lot more than some of the chump change that they're getting from him.
Your film is titled S.L. Chapo with a question mark, meaning, you know, is this Chapo? And one of the things you explore is the opinion among many who are not involved in the case, just at the average man on the street, that this perhaps was not him. And do you think the conspiracies are really not so much about whether Chapo Guzman was captured and the reality of that, but maybe exposing this great distrust of authority in Mexico, that the government can't be believed, is what that's really about?
Unfortunately, we have a huge climate of distrust in Mexico between the Mexican people and their officials. Whether it's the president, police, there's such a distrust. And as I said earlier, the people in Mexico look at Chapo as a symbol of power and wealth, something their own government couldn't provide to them. They look at Chapo as a man who beat the system, a man who is a social bandit, that Robin Hood figure. And it's quite troubling in Mexico that there's such a state of paranoia, distrust. You just don't trust the official word. You don't trust their statements, their numbers. So I'm afraid in this case, the Mexican people have been lied to again by their own government. This is a dirty pattern that we've seen for decades.
So you yourself are of the opinion that...
Yeah, for the reasons I gave earlier. And they took a poll in El Paso, and over 60% do not think it's him. In Mexico, it's pretty split. 42% think it's him. 40% think it's not him. 18% were not accounted for. I just got back from Odessa. In Odessa, 75% of the people do not think it's him. Large Mexican population in Odessa, Texas.
It's a population that doesn't have any direct knowledge of the case, as opposed to, you know, it does have a mistrust of the government. And I'm wondering, too, feeding into this, is you mentioned Chapo as a ghost in some ways. I mean, he has almost no digital footprint. There's almost no photographs of him.
No.
He's
the same ones are always used.
Despite his notoriety and wealth and popularity, there seems to be not much information on who this person is.
Other than love, respect, narco corridos, but the people who do not like him are the ones that have been directly affected from a humanity standpoint and not a monetary standpoint.
Now, Mexico says it's conducted DNA tests, and I'm sure this arrest had the help or assistance of U.S. intelligence agencies. And I'm wondering, if you don't believe Chapo was actually detained and is in custody right now, what does Mexico or the U.S. get out of that?
Well, first of all, DNA in Mexico, to me, stands for does not apply. It's a great question. Who benefits from his arrest? Mm-hmm. Did they arrest Mexico's economy? I don't think this arrest helped the average Mexican citizen. The drugs are still flowing into the United States, easily, I might add, somehow, some way. We're still financing this war. Whether we're still sending guns to Mexico, I'm sure we are. I mean, look at Operation Fast and Furious. So we have a big problem here between both countries, and Anabel Hernandez certainly indicated that in the film. The lady who wrote the 600-page book on Chapo knows more about Chapo than anyone I've ever met. I interviewed her at Cathedral High School, and I asked her point blank, do you think it's him? And she said she wasn't sure. That's when I knew we had a movie here. If she's not sure, nobody's sure.
I wonder if there's a third path to explore, which is that Mexico actually believes they have him, and he's, with his wealth and power, constructed his own elaborate disappearing act.
Charles, I would say only five people in Mexico truly know what's up. The president, obviously Chapo, maybe Chapo's wife, and a couple of other people that are deep into the inner circle of Enrique Peña Nieto and the pre-party, and maybe one of Chapo's true right-hand people next to him. So this is a very confusing and suspicious arrest.
Your film, Es el Chapo, is premiering in El Paso soon. Tell us about that.
Yeah, October 3rd is when it opens in Bassett. Mm-hmm. Also at Las Cruces at the Allen Theaters inside the mall there. Mm-hmm. And Star Max Deming. It's going to run for at least a week. And partial proceeds go to charities in Juarez.
Nice. And you have a trailer and some other information on the film?
Yes, on the website, eselchapo.com, and that's in Spanish, eselchapo.com.
Well, I know you've made several films about the violence in Juarez, the drug war, the drug cartels, and some of those films included interviews with writer Charles Boden. And I just wanted, while you're in the studio, to ask you, he passed away on August 30th of this year. Your thoughts on Charles Boden?
Charles was a giant in the field. We lost a person who truly cared about Mexico. I've always said more people should care about the Mexico tragedy, and Charles was, to me, a hero. He taught me more about Juarez than anyone I've ever met. He was in my first three Juarez films, and like I said, we lost a giant, a colossal talent, a man who had absolutely no fear, and my heart goes out to Charles Boden and his friends and family.
Charlie Minn, best of luck with the new film, and thank you for coming into the studio today.
Thank you.
My guest today has been documentary filmmaker Charlie Minn. His new film, Es el Chapo, chronicles the events surrounding the arrest of one of the world's most powerful criminals, the Mexican drug cartel leader Chapo Guzman. The 80-minute film also explores some of the skepticism surrounding Guzman's arrest, along with conspiracy theories that Mexico did not actually capture the real Chapo Guzman. Es el Chapo will screen at the Premier Cinema in El Paso and the Allen Theaters in Las Cruces beginning October 3rd. For showtimes, contact the theater. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.